Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
This is
WGN Television 9.
Channel 9.
Channel 9, Chicago.
Chicago.
Coming to you from atop the John Hancock Building.
Welcome to the world's greatest newspaper television podcast. I'm Brian Say.
And I'm Ross McAbee.
We're WGN's first and only podcast. If you're listening to us on WGNTV.com, you can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
We've got a big show. We're not going to waste any time. Normally we tease stuff, but we're just going to jump into it because we landed a huge guest.
The hugest. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Paul freaking Conrad. How are you, Paul?
Oh, I could not be better. Excited to be here with you guys and to keep the dream alive.
Right on.
As we like
right.
To say.
Let's get to the hard-hitting questions.
All right.
What do you like on your pizza?
And can we get some pizza later, maybe?
Yeah, but let's get some pizza. I've been kind of shifting around on my pizzas lately. I'm going to say I like a little basil and a little tomato.
What did you shift from? Where were
no
you?
No meat options.
I used to be all over. I used to be like pepperoni, onion, and mushroom.
Okay.
But I've been,
I respect that.
I'm kind of a little bit more like a simple margarita pizza in some ways.
A little lighter.
You know, I make my own. I've got an old recipe.
So we can maybe come over later.
Come on by.
It's on the website.
It's a spectacular recipe. I'll share it with you guys someday.
And the lighter the pizza, the more beer intake.
That's
right.
You got to leave room. You got to have the right mix and match.
This is making a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to WGN. You've been on the WGN Morning News for more than 20 years now. Viewers know about the chemistry you have with Larry, Robin, and Pat. We're just curious, do you guys have like any rules as you engage one another on the show? Over the years, have you formed these things?
There are a couple rules that, like the first rule that comes to my mind is no one wears cologne. Like, I don't
know. That's serious.
That's serious, right? Like, and really it's because Robin, I don't know if I was wearing it, but she laid down this rule 20 some years ago, and she got it from Buzz when she was working with Jonathan Brandmeier. He told her, listen, don't wear any cologne or perfume. It's a rude thing to do to your coworkers. And so as she told us this story, I think Larry and I both were like, all right, we get the message.
Yeah.
Not that either of us were cologne wearers in the first place,
uh-huh.
but there's not a month-long period that goes by that she doesn't share that story. And there have been times that I've put on like a different deodorant that has a little extra scent to it, and I'm scared to death that she's going to beat the crap out of me in the parking lot.
Right.
So that's rule number one.
Okay. Do we smell all right for you?
You guys
right
smell great. Okay. And I love the more it smells, the merrier for me. I feel deprived. I go home and I start pouring all kinds of stuff on me. And my wife's like, what are you putting this on now for? I'm like, because Robin's going to kill me if I,
right.
I got so many jars of cologne
right.
that you can only go through so much in such a period
you
of time.
You got to live outside of here.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, that's the first thing I do when I get in my car is I lather on some cologne. Okay. Other rules kind of... you know, we have managed to develop and maintain these relationships with having minimal relationships outside of work, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
Like, we're not texting each other regularly. We're not calling each other regularly.
We don't hang out a lot.
We don't hang out. Right. Maybe we get together once every 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Okay. If there's a funeral or something that we feel like we should all go to. But it's kind of this unspoken rule where we see enough of each other and have seen enough of each other for the last 23 years. Let's not mess this up.
Right. Right.
And it's probably smart. I have spent more time with those guys than I've spent with my wife and children. So the less, the better, I think.
Well, it's kind of like not a long distance relationship, but it's like, you know, you kind of enjoy the time you have together because you're not always on when you can get away from it.
Right. And you're afraid you're going to screw it up also. I should also throw in there that, beyond that rule, there are, of course, the life circumstances on things that really matter, right? Like, I will say that I feel like Robin is my sister, right? Like that if something is going on with her, if one of her kids are sick or something, then I will say this about Larry also, surprisingly, Larry is like a great friend. Like sure. He is the guy who calls to make sure everyone's all right. And so that exists, but those really are more in rare times, right? Like we know
when you want to be there for each other.
Right. We're always there.
And you have a history.
Right. Yeah. Like I went and saw Larry in the hospital one time.
Yeah.
This was 10 years ago or so. And I felt like maybe I was ruining our stuff by being there. We had a lovely time.
What was the nature of the visit?
He just likes to check into the hospital every once in a while. Okay. And he says to them, I'm not feeling great, even though he feels fine. Right. But he likes to have them come and do tests on him and things like that. And I thought it was an emergency, so I'm hauling ass to get up there.
Bring your flowers.
And he's like, yeah, I'm not feeling well. And then he's winking at me, you know, as the nurse comes in and out. Like he's perfectly fine, so I'm like, hey, whatever, you know. And if you want me to come, I'm here.
Right.
So
and Lake Forest like Hospital, they got great food,
great cafeteria. He took me right down there. It was the first thing.
It's like a resort. Makes sense.
I can see why you checked in. I don't feel good either. I'm going to see if I can stay a week here. Then he gets away from his wife and kids. It's a brilliant idea. And insurance covers like 90%.
Right.
So he's a lot smarter than he comes across on TV.
So. Talk about like chemistry and what you guys do, you know, as far as rules. But like after two decades, how do you keep the chemistry, the magic? You know, there's something that sets apart WGN Morning News from the other morning shows.
The first thought that comes to my mind is like Robin Baumgarten. I am so thankful to have her as a coworker because she laughs at like 85% of what I say.
Yes.
And I walk out of here each day thinking, like maybe 10% of that was funny.
Right.
But she laughs at like 90% of it. I'm like, that's the best thing ever, right?
Right.
And when you're in the company of someone who will laugh at you, just you feel like, all right, I'm going to keep going. Yeah. I'm going to really bring it because she's rolling on the floor laughing. And it's probably not that funny, but you get confused because she's laughing. Meanwhile, Potash is over there, you know, rolling his eyeballs and you know, checking to see what kind of car he's going to buy next.
Right.
And so
checks and balances.
Yeah. I think it does work because ultimately I think there is this level of authentic care for each other. And there's this level of safety where we can harass each other publicly and it's safe because we all know that we authentically care for each other.
Right.
So this is a good little side story. Here.
Yeah.
So this is 10, 15 years ago. They introduce a new music to the show. Like, you know how you have that theme music?
The cart. Yeah.
Right, new cart, right? But they don't tell us that new music is coming, right? And that's a new music cart or bed as being that they've spent thousands of dollars on, right? But they don't tell any of us. So it comes on, and I'm listening, I'm like, this blows. This music sucks. And I say it out loud on TV, and Larry's like, yeah, who the hell picked this out? This really blows. And Robin chimes in on it, and so all of us. And at the time, I really thought it sucked. I didn't think it was that great of music.
Right.
Well, we get a notice, an email saying, please come to the news director's office immediately. Uh-oh. Right after the show. I'm like, oh, boy, what did we do? I can't imagine anything that we had done. I didn't swear or I did nothing wrong.
Right.
And I will say, so we get into the news director's office, who, nice guy. I like the guy a lot. But he says, let me just say at one point, you can bleep this out. I'm called a fucking asshole.
Okay.
And the guy says, hey, what the fuck? are you doing making fun of that music? Do you have any idea how many people have worked and busted their ass to make this music the best possible music? You guys are the biggest assholes around, and the fact that you would make fun of that is so insulting. And he is like, I got ripped to shreds in this meeting, right?
Yeah.
And like, I'm shocked because in the years that we've been here, I've never, you know, rarely do I get that kind of a, you know, a beat down.
Right.
Larry Potash, in a moment of brilliance, says, hey, listen, what are you so worked up over? I call Robin a whore on TV regularly. You never are pissed off about that. What are you yelling at us about this stuff for? So it's kind of like the safety of being able to be honest.
Right.
It must totally suck to be in management here and to put up with, you know, the stupid stuff that we're saying. But he was genuinely furious.
Well, when we sat down with Jen Lyons, she said, you know, on the morning show, sort of her rule with you guys is, you can make my stomach hurt, but don't make me throw up.
Yeah. That's fair, right? And I think that we are teeter on that. Those body parts are very close to each other. So you got to be very careful. The slightest thing can make a projectile. So. But I think there is that where, like, Larry can call Robin a whore on TV, and she knows that he still loves her and that there's that freedom because of the closeness of our actual caring for each other, that she's not going to go head up to HR and say, hey, that asshole, he called me a whore on TV.
Yeah. Right.
Because she will then fire back and give it right back to us. So that, I think this is really pretty rare in news teams where people can be really do zings that have the potential to hurt.
Right.
But you also really know that, hey, and the other part of it also is that because the show has been successful for as long as it has been, I think we also kind of know there's some, it's fairly safe. Like we don't want to blow this thing up. We don't want to screw it up, but we also know that we can dance on that line and do things that if half of what was said on our show was said on Good Morning America or something, those people would have been fired long ago.
Right.
Like I'm in shock that I still have a job here at times.
Are there ever times or can you think of any big time where you've said something to Larry or Robin or Pat and you've like thought I need to apologize to them?
maybe not to them. I'm trying to, I called them some, I'm trying to remember, I called them jagoffs, which I don't think is a...
doesn't sound terrible to me.
No, yeah.
The FCC might disagree.
Yeah. So I got called in on that one, right? And I'm like, huh, I don't even know what a jagoff is, right? Like, it's one of those, it's like a jack loader.
Right.
I don't even know what it is, but it sounds wrong, right?
Uh-huh.
So boss comes in and says, hey, I need you to issue an apology for using that kind of language. And I'm like, what? And she goes, I don't even know, but you need to apologize.
Sure.
And I'm like, do I need to apologize? So I go to Larry and Robin, hey, do I need to apologize? No way. You know, so it's confusing and it's a tough line to balance because we have long believed here that TV news is generally incredibly predictable and boring. Like it is, you can see it coming a mile away. You know exactly what to expect. And it's so canned and predictable that it is boring. It's boring as hell. And so if there's the possibility that somehow or other you can make that format interesting or unpredictable, all of a sudden, it might be worth watching, right? Like, something may slip out here that could actually be interesting. It used to be the most interesting part of a newscast was when the teleprompter went down because you're like, maybe we're going to see something real happen here for once instead of all this canned BS.
Right.
And so we try to do that, but it often comes at the risk of being offensive or saying something that's, maybe I should not have said that or that.
Right.
Larry, Robin, Pat, which one of them do you like the most?
Ooh.
He's really thinking about it.
That's our question.
Robin, Pat. I'm going to go with Robin.
I didn't think you'd choose.
Yeah. Same choice.
Yeah, I feel like if I got to be fair. What do I like the most about Robin? Robin, surprisingly, she is really like this honorable woman that the way she cares about raising her daughters, the way she cares about people who are hurting, like she's got this side of her that nobody on TV or her coworkers really
right.
know. But after sitting next to her for years, I'm really struck by the goodness in her heart and how she's just got it sounds completely contradictory, but she's got this tender heart in her that is really great. Right. And it is exactly not who you would see. Right. Like you see her on, she can be a ball busting heart, right? Which is also what's great about her. Like she's a Southside broad or chick or woman, whatever you want to call her, who is willing to fight. And I respect that about her. I will also say this is something you guys probably don't know. But when Robin and Larry first started anchoring together, it was painful for me to sit there because Robin is a fighter. Like, she will not back down. If she feels strongly about something, as you guys know,
oh, yeah.
she'll fight. And
right.
She won't say, oh, okay, whatever, it's fine, whatever you want to do. She'll fight if she believes she's right. And she believes she's right a lot. And she, frankly, she usually is right. That's what's so fascinating. And Larry is the exact same way. Larry's like, I'm not going to budge. If I think this is right, this is right. And so for like the first year and a half, almost every commercial break, these two are fighting with each other over content or the way
really?
Things are being read. And I'm like, this sucks. I'm getting out of here. Usually right. I would sit on the set all the time. But after my weather hit was done, I'm like, I'm getting the hell out of here because the last thing I want is sitting between these two
right.
jackasses fighting with each other because they're both going to look at me and say, who's right?
Right.
And
exactly.
I'm screwed.
Yeah. Yep.
So with time, they have figured it out. But it was a rough year for me. They probably would think, oh, yeah, it was great.
Right.
But they both are comfortable with conflict and yeah. getting in each other's
well, sure. The good thing is they send those emails to us.
Right.
Yeah. Now we
so
get
you got out of the middle right. of it. Yeah. right. That's what I know. They're tapping. Yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
oh, boy.
Yeah. Listen, my wife worked here as a producer.
Yeah.
And she let me know what it's like to be a producer mm-hmm. on this show and to put up with all of us on the set. And it was at that point I realized, all right, these guys actually have the hardest job of sitting there listening to this arrogance on the set, blowing it all out on you guys.
Well, thank you. You just became the number one guest. I mean,
yeah,
you already were.
Yeah, you moved up a notch.
You've blown everybody up.
Let's switch gears. Talk about your upbringing. Is it true your father didn't allow a TV in the home?
We had a TV, but my father, I'm one of seven kids. And, like, he would be so frustrated that we wanted to watch TV and there was so much work to be done at the house. And he wasn't a fan of the TV in the first place. And so I think there was always this conflict. I'm one of seven kids and there were four boys and three girls and we would wind up fighting over what was going to be watched. Mm. And one day he'd had it and he walks in, unplugs the TV set, picks it up, walks over to the basement door, and throws it down the stairs. And TV was done.
And yeah, that was it.
Right. That was it.
Yeah.
So
he solved the problem. How,
yeah, it was problem solved on his end. So, like, the other thing is, like, the Conrads had this long history of being contrarians where if everyone's watching TV, we're not watching TV. Like, no matter, like, everyone's enjoying this magnificent apple pie. Well, we're not eating apple pie. We're going to sit over here and eat a freaking pecan pie.
Right.
So that whole thing created a lot of oddness is what I'm becoming aware of. Like, I have no pop culture references after about 1974 or 73.
Right. What happened that year?
So not
that, that was the TV down the stairs year. So
okay.
So kind of going off about that,
yeah.
your upbringing, tell us about the traveling Conrads.
Yeah. All right.
I think we've touched on it on the morning show a little.
Yeah.
But
it's an odd one also. So one of seven kids, and my dad is an Austrian dude. And so he bought my mom this guitar, and the two of them would teach their seven kids these German and Austrian folk songs.
Okay.
And so we would sing, you know, and some people would come over, and they're like, hey, let us put on a little, sing a song or two, right? And somehow or other, that turned into this side business where we're going to churches and festivals dressed up in the Austrian outfits, singing Austrian and German folk music. And it went on for, I started when I was three, and I retired at the age of 19.
Wow.
So it was a...
How has that informed your role on the morning show?
That's a great question.
A lot of polka.
I will say, yeah, I love the polka music. I think also when you grow up in that kind of, like, there's this performing thing that I grew up with, right, that I'm really comfortable being in front of people. And there's also this thing where I think with experience, you just kind of quit caring about, am I going to make a mistake or screw up?
Right.
We all screw up, right? Yeah, like, I have a lifetime of screwing up. And that takes away some of that burden of feeling like, oh, I really have to do this great.
Yeah.
I think that helps.
That's what's always struck me about you is, like, I remember even growing up watching the morning show is like Larry would do a Larry's World. And, like, even if you didn't know it was coming or there was a kicker, you always had a one-liner that just killed. Like,
thank you.
They could think it was not funny, or hey, Paul, and then you'd say one line, and I mean, it was like the funniest part of maybe that whole exchange.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I always thought, how does he do that?
Yeah.
I guess it was just not caring, right?
Yeah, that's something not caring.
It's like, I'm going to put myself out there, and
we have to get over that hump because I care a lot.
Right, that is. It's hard, right?
I was nervous to say that.
That's the first step of admitting it is the first step to victory.
So in college, you had a friend named John Riley?
John C. Riley, yes. So I did my undergrad at DePaul at the Goodman School of Drama.
Okay.
And I was going to be an actor.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, it's going to be an actor. And so my classmate was this guy, John C. Riley, who has gone on.
You might know him. You might
who
know
he
him.
Is now.
Maybe you've heard of him.
And so he was an interesting, I got to know him a little bit more my junior and senior year. So at the Goodman School of Drama, they at the time accepted like 30 acting students, and it was this acting conservatory, and you had to get invited back to the school at the end of each year.
So you were elite. Wow. You were part of an elite class there.
Elite. Yeah. And they only wind up graduating like 10 or 12 people at that time, right? So that senior year, me, John Riley, another 10 or 12 people graduated, but you got to know each other a little bit more from stuff like that. John Riley, I think I did some stage combat classes. I know we did a Waiting for Godot stuff together.
Sure.
And I will say this, and I don't think John would mind this. John was the guy who was constantly on the verge of getting thrown out of the school, right?
That makes sense.
He was remarkably talented, but he had a million different things going on, and he had this laid-back attitude that at times doesn't fit into this conservatory drive, right? But so he's remarkably talented and a good guy.
Awesome. So, Pat, we were kind of running some stuff by Pat. We wanted to get
we were trying to get some background
on figure out who Paul
Do our due
Connor
diligence,
is.
Yeah.
He says, used to run several marathons.
Yes.
And that you once ended up in a Russian jail.
Yeah.
He called you the most interesting man in the world.
Is this stuff true, or is he
It is true.
Our
no, yeah. I've run seven marathons. Did one in Sweden, did one in Alaska, one in Ireland, and I did the Chicago. Wow. I think I did Alaska a couple times. So that's true. I did end up in a Russian jail. This is in the 1991, I believe.
Okay.
Listen, mistakes happen, right? There's a language barrier there.
Was her name Olga?
No.
You thought you could have ran away.
Yeah. Well, it was right after. Right. You would think
good
so.
Good shape.
Right after the Russian Revolution, where they're breaking up all the states.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's chaos in that whole area. So I'm in Kiev, and I'm there with a friend, and I'm translating, or I got this guy who's a translator who's helping me understand stuff, and I'm like, listen, here's the other thing. This is 1991, and it was shortly after Chernobyl, and food was complicated to eat. Like, you didn't know what was going to be safe and what wasn't safe, right?
Okay. Wow.
And the Ukrainians, incredibly generous people, and they make you a dinner, and they bring out a goat's tongue. And it literally looked like they went to the goat's mouth, chopped it off, threw it in a bucket of boiling water, and then put it in front of you, and it's gray, and there are all the taste buds. And I'm like, oh, this is awful. And you eat it, right? Right. Okay. But so I'm there, I think I was there 2-3 weeks, and I'm like, I've got to get to Moscow. I just want to see Moscow. I'm in Kiev. How could, you know, I'm this close.
Right.
You don't want to miss that opportunity. So my translator's like, my mom works at the train station. We'll get you a ticket, and we'll have her write out on a piece of paper so that when you want to come back from Moscow to Chicago, you just hold this letter up, and they'll give you a train ticket back. I'm like, that's perfect. Let's give it a shot. Plus, there was a McDonald's in Moscow.
Okay,
and I'm like,
right,
that's the first place I'm going because I'm freaking starving. Yeah. So it works out fine. I get on the overnight train. I go to Moscow. I spend the full day in Moscow. The first stop at the McDonald's, I spent like $3 and had $700 worth of food. I'm in Red Square. I'm looking all around. And then that night, like, this was a long haul. It was like a 10-hour overnight train, and I'm there, literally, I'm going to stay there about 12 hours and then catch the train back.
Right.
And I go to get my ticket at the train station, and it's complete chaos. And at that time also, like, nothing in Russia was working right. Like, the phones aren't working. You know, there was also, like, everywhere you went, the police would do anything they could to make your life difficult because they would recognize you as an American just to get you to give them $20.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you were constantly compromised, where I'm going to have to pay this guy off in order to get this stupid thing, right?
Yep.
And that stuff wears on me. I don't handle that stuff well.
Sure.
So I get the ticket, and as I go to get on the train to come back to Kiev, the two militia guys are standing there, and they're looking at my stuff, and they say, visa. Mm. And so what is true is that you need to have a formal visa if you're an American at the time to get into.
And you didn't have
I didn't have one. So in my quick thinking, I pull out a Visa credit card. And they're like, "Niet," blah, 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 blah. There's all kinds of confusion.
Right.
And I'm trying to talk my way out of this, but they don't understand what I'm saying. And I can also clearly tell this is another one of those situations where they're just trying to jack me around for money.
Yep.
I'll be damned, I'm not doing this anymore.
Right.
So they escort me to the police car, and they drive me to the Moscow City Jail. And in I go. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Like, they don't take my backpack, they don't take my name, they don't take my identification. They're just putting me in the old city clink.
Right.
I'm like, this sucks. This isn't right. I'm not giving you $20. I'm going to fight this fight.
Right.
So I wake up the next morning, I'm still sitting in the Moscow City Jail. Like, God, listen, there's this other guy who looked like he was dead in the corner of the jail cell with me.
Right.
And nothing is going on. It smells to high hell.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for someone to come let me out.
Uh-huh.
And nobody stopped. Nobody asked if I wanted to talk to my attorney or make a call or anything like that. So I'm like, oh, this is a bad situation. Here, I got to figure out.
I should have paid those guys.
How do I get out of this place, right? So I'm beginning to get a little bit stressed out now after realizing what I've gotten myself into. I should also mention I can fall asleep like that. So, like, even in the most stressful situations, I can sleep, which is a gift from God.
Yeah.
So now I'm on the second night, and I am in there again for a second night. Like, this, I have got to figure out how to get this. This is really getting ugly.
Have you been fed?
Yeah, so they slide, they have a tray that they slide under the door, and it was some kind of gravel bread that I'm sharing with this guy. No water, but it's awful.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
So when the guy came the next morning and slid the stuff under, I'm standing there banging on the door, showing him a $20 bill. Get me out.
Uh-huh.
And the guy looks at me and he walks off. I'm like, oh, crap, that didn't work. And I'm yelling to him. He comes back 30 seconds later, opens up the door. I hand him the $20 bill. He walks me right out the front door.
Really?
And I'm back on my way again. I'm like, I should have done that like 2 days ago. It would have been so much easier. What was I thinking?
But you took a stand.
Yeah, I took a stand. You took a stand
against
at
the commies.
At least for a good 40-some hours, yeah. I was holding strong
right.
against the commies.
Against those commies.
Take that. Yeah. So
that's an amazing story.
I get back to the train station, get right on the next train, and I'm back. And all the better for it.
Wow.
So that's a... You know, that's a pretty good experience.
So
you know,
stand up for your principles.
Yeah. Right. There's a huge amount of embarrassment and shame over, like, the stupidity and arrogance of
yes.
just give the guy. If I give him $5, they would have, you know, been fine with it, right?
Right.
I'm here jacking around with that. But, so, I've had, you know, better moments in my life.
That's amazing. So, we've talked about it on the morning show. We
yeah.
talked about your acting background.
Yeah.
You played a waiter on an episode of Felicity yeah. back in 2000.
Yeah.
Can you deliver that line?
Yeah, yeah. Let me give it to you right now. Let me work the camera a little bit here also. Did you order the ribs? Oh, there it was.
Right.
That was beautiful. Yeah.
And he said no.
He said no, but the reality is he did order the ribs. He was just in such a bad place and so distracted that he didn't know that he ordered the ribs. Because I remember, like, you know, as a method actor, I'm like,
right.
this guy,
right.
I'm not ordering ribs for the guy if he didn't order ribs, right,
right? Right.
So when I'm asking, did you order the ribs? Like, I know he ordered the ribs. I'm just looking for him to move his hand so I can put the plate down.
Right. It's a complex narrative arc.
Well, listen to this. I mean, this is where the story is also kind of got this international thing going on with it, right? So we do this thing, and frankly, I'm like, why would they waste the amount of time and energy to send me out there? All I say is, did you order the ribs in this whole hour-long show of Felicity, right? And like, they flew me out there. I spent 3 days out there. We were doing ad campaigns about watch Paul on Felicity tonight. Like right. they were blowing the budget out and I'm right. on it for 3 seconds, right? So it all passes. And again, now it's about a year later and I am in Riga, Latvia. All right. And I'm in a hotel room with my wife and I'm flipping through the channels and finding anything to watch in Riga, Latvia is not easy to find. And I flip and I'm like, this is Felicity. And it had English subtitles and or maybe with a lot. I can't remember. One of they were reversed. Right. And I'm like, hey, this is not only is it Felicity, this is the episode that I'm in. So I'm like, hey, get my wife, and we're watching it, and there I am.
Wow.
I deliver it, and I see it out of my own two eyes in Latvia, right? And I'm like, this is unbelievable. And I kid you not, at the end, as the credits roll, the very first credit on there says, starring Paul Conrad. I'm like, this is amazing. How did that happen? And I'm like, I have become an international sex symbol like that. And I wasn't even, had I not been there to actually see it myself,
right.
I wouldn't have known. Woo! Amazing, right?
That is. That really is.
That's the power of WGN.
Yeah, may not have taken off here, but in Latvia.
No, yeah, in Latvia, man, I was huge. I was worried walking the streets yeah. the next day thinking
right.
people are going to be all over me.
Get some security.
Yeah, if you can find that clip, it's worth showing.
Man. Well, back here at home, we work at Channel 9. Obviously, there's aside from you,
yeah.
the international sex symbol,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
there is a living legend in our midst, Tom Skilling.
Yeah.
Can you remember the first time you met Tom Skilling?
Ooh, I think I can. So I met Tom. This is probably 1993 or 4, something like that. I was working at CLTV, and I had been hired at CLTV to kind of set up the weather department there. So... like, my job was to go through resume tapes, and we're going to build our weather staff. And what everybody knew was if you could do anything to get Skilling's endorsement, that would be the best possible thing that you could do.
Sure.
So at the time, CLTV was a startup out in Oak Brook. And so I contacted Skilling, and I'm like, hey, would you be fine if I just stop by? I have some questions, Steve. And he's like, oh, yeah, come on in. So met him that night. The guy is remarkably kind and welcoming and gracious and is so generous in everything that he does. He's such an anomaly because he's one of these guys who has such a large presence, right? Like, he's the king of TV anywhere, right? Like, everyone looks at him like he's the guy, and yet he's got the heart of, you know, this humble...
Right.
It's amazing, right? So I start working here. This is 1996 or so, and we had this weather system that kept locking up, ironically, and it would infuriate and frustrate Skilling to no end. And this was back when he was doing the noon show, and I'm in there, and he comes in to the weather office after doing a hit on the air, and the weather computer locked up on him. And he came back, and he goes, oh, my gosh. My whole career is flashing in front of me as I'm standing out there, and I can't get this weather computer to advance. And I'm thinking, this could be my last day. Like, this is awful. Can't believe this happened to me. I'm sitting there going, you're Tom freaking Skilling. Right, you could take a dump on the set in the middle of the newscast. No one's going to fire you, Tom. You're Tom Skilling. He goes, oh, no, I cannot believe that. I'm like, that guy has got the humility of a saint.
Right.
And he continues to kind of live that out. I'm embarrassed at my arrogance and my selfishness. And I'm like, this guy, like, anytime the phone rings in the weather office, I honestly have not answered my phone or checked my voicemail at this work in 15 years. I have no idea how to answer it. I've just never used it. And I've not touched it. I have no idea.
Right.
And they got new ones in about 5 years ago, so I don't even know how they work. But Tom, the phone rings back there, and he picks it up and answers it and will talk to anybody. Right. And, like, I stopped answering primarily because my mom and sister were calling. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to get it. Like, yeah. I'm at work. I don't have time for this. But, you know, boys that are 10 years old are calling because they're looking for help with their science project.
Right.
And he'll talk with them for 45 minutes to help them with their project.
Right.
I'm like, the guy is got a heart of gold on him.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. I'm like, there's part of me that I'm like, I have really become this arrogant, you know, self-centered jag-off, you know. So
and Skilling's so nice, he was able, you know, we've had him in the morning show a few times.
Yeah.
We also had him come to a downtown Marriott in the past few months for a primetime special. We got you in a bathtub. We got Skilling in a robe. Have any regrets?
No, nothing. That's like one of the highlights of my time working here.
Yeah, my favorite thing is they keep using it in like every promo for weather.
Yeah, they're milking that.
Taunting you.
Yeah. I tell you what, I see Skilling, right? And I still have that same reaction of probably the guy who watches him at home every night and sees him in the park and is like, hey, it's Tom Skilling.
Right.
I still get this thing like, this is Tom Skilling. So that,
like,
we're shooting that thing in the hotel room, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is absolutely unbelievable. I'm in a hotel room half naked with Tom Skilling, and we're having a conversation. This is amazing, right? But still, I'm like, this is awesome.
Right.
I can't believe this is playing out.
How do you think we feel? We grew up watching you guys.
We were so dumbstruck. He wore a hat the whole time.
Right.
Yeah, right. Nobody even thought, hey,
we forgot.
No.
Tom, can you take your hat off?
I didn't have the courage to say it. I'm like, what the hell is he wearing a hat for? I'm not going to ask him. It's Tom freaking Skilling. He can do whatever he wants
to
do.
So nice. He delivered like the lines for us, 87. I don't like that one. Let me do it again. We're like, Tom, you nailed it.
Yeah,
you nailed
it. Great.
Fine.
It was unbelievable.
He is so impressive, right?
Like, he is.
Good for him that he's still willing to. I got to believe that, like, he and I could not be more polar opposites as far as how we do our
approach,
weather, right? But he has always just been so gracious and generous with me. I'm like, that guy is the best.
Yeah, he is.
I told Russ before we did that this is the biggest shoot of our lives.
Yeah, it really was.
It was.
And it
really
stands.
Was.
Yes. Yeah. And I gotta say, like, I can never imagine, like, I don't have the courage to go up to Tom and say, hey, Tom, would you help me out with this little bit that I'm trying to do? Because I'm like, I'm ashamed that I'm asking the king to visit the pauper and right. to play in my cesspool of crap, right?
It's ignorance. Right. That's how I...
But he's always like, yeah, sure, I'd be glad to
We're
help
this
out.
Close to getting Oprah.
Right.
Yeah. This close.
We were, right there. I think. Seriously, though.
Maybe we just missed your phone call. Yeah. I don't know.
But he's amazing. And he's brilliant. Like, here's another thing that you don't realize. So we had these guys selling satellite data come in, and you know, they set up their monitor and it's got some storm system in it, and Skilling looks at it and he goes, oh, I remember that. That's May 18th, 19 something.
You gotta
or
be
other.
Kidding me.
He goes, we had a high temperature that day of 84, and we had this, and I'm like, I don't remember what I said the forecast was this morning. And this guy's got the recall to pull out that kind of stuff. I'm like, it was, and the guy was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. That was May 18th. You know, and I'm like, good grief. So the guy's got his mental capacity and his ability to process huge numbers is,
and
his memory is unbelievable.
So passionate
about it too. So impressive.
All right. Well, switching gears, let's talk about your life outside the office.
Yes.
You have like 16 kids?
17 kids, right. Yeah.
17?
Yeah. 17.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I just had another one in this morning. I got to get to the hospital right after this to greet them. And I'm also taking name submissions if you guys want to throw it in. I'd be glad.
Samantha.
To. They have to be German or
yeah, whatever at this
Disney
point.
Disney-inspired.
Yeah, we're running out of names at this point. I've got 4 kids, but it does feel like 17. They are all under the age of 16, 14, 10, and 8. And I am richly blessed by having these 4 kids. They are my great joy in my life. So that's one thing. Like I am very engaged in my children's. The beauty of this morning shift is that I walk out of here and my day is done. I'm typically home by 11:30 every day, and that allows me to, in the summertime, be with my kids. I can coach their baseball and softball and all that other stuff at night. So that's awesome. So it's a blast for me.
Are you any traveling Conrad stuff you're going to
do? No. I mean, as far as...
with them, carrying on the tradition.
No, I think I'm trying to spare them any of that emotional damage that was...
Right.
They, and in fact, they are the epitome of, they're like, no, I'm not going to perform for you. Like, I remember as a kid, like, I had to perform. Like, if we're going to sing that song, you're going to put a smile on your face, and I'm going to sing along, right? But my kids are like, hey, how about you? Would you play this song on your violin? No, Dad. How about just for me?
Right.
No, I'm not going to. And they are, like, the worst. My daughter, who's now 14, from the time she was like 3, I'd come in and I'm like, I've got some great magic or something, a song I want to sing for you. Thinking I'm really going to wow her and bring her some happiness. And I deliver, and she gives me nothing. She's like, I'm like, all right, I'm on TV, you know.
Right.
I got people actually think I'm fun and funny. She's like, nothing out of them. So
good. Somebody bring you down.
Yeah, they
absolutely come home, bring
me
you
back
down.
To the reality of so that I'm a loser.
We heard, I think Pat told us this. Your wife won't let you get a dog. You
she
want to weigh in
get
on
a
that?
Dog. This is a big problem.
So you want a dog?
And trust me, I've done the math.
Yeah.
I got to keep my wife because the expense-wise, it doesn't work out.
It makes it, you got 17 kids, one dog. One more.
She would notice.
Get lost in
the this has been a – I had a dog for 18 years. Beautiful dog, golden retriever. It's now with the Lord. She's like I've been jonesing for a dog for a long time, right? And I got these kids. I'm like, look how happy these kids would be. And she's like, listen, the last thing we need around here is one more animal leaving crap behind. And if there's one more person who comes into this house or an animal, it's real simple. I'm leaving.
Okay.
And I'm like,
that makes sense.
It's a hard choice.
Right?
It is a hard choice. But listen, you do the math on it, and you're like, this is okay. I can live without a dog. Maybe I'm waiting for something. It went so far as I've got my kids at night when she sits down to pray with them. I'm saying, listen, pray out loud to your mom that maybe God would allow us to have a dog in the house, see if that softens her heart any. But she's locked in on
no
it.
No luck.
Maybe Robin lets you loan your Oscar.
Yeah.
But you know how you guys have dogs at all?
I do. I have a pit bull mix. She's a nightmare. I love her. I tell her every day I'm going to put her down, but right. I don't mean
right.
it.
But you're trying to get control. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And but she doesn't understand all of that.
She has no idea what I'm saying. People get really offended when I say terrible things.
Right, but she doesn't.
She's a dog.
She doesn't know
she's
that.
She's an
stuff.
Idiot. Yep, I'm kidding. I love dogs. Right. All the dog owners.
But she doesn't understand the language.
No. Right.
But my dog, so like he was 18 and at the time, maybe he's at 15 and he. Like his stomach wasn't working right. Like the stuff that was coming out wasn't in any way, shape, or form right. And so I'm thinking, this is it. This is the final straw. So we go on this long walk through the park, and I'm talking to him. I'm upset emotionally, but this is my last goodbye, and then we're going to the vet. And I get into the vet, and the vet's like, yeah, he's just got some digestive. Here, take these pills. He'll be fine. I'm like, what? I just spilled all of this to the dog, and now, you know, this is I've lost all my leverage with him. So then he lives 3 more years.
Wow.
But I got a good run out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So you've been posting a lot of photos on social media of this rooftop patio you've been building.
Yeah.
Ross and I got to know, when should we come by? Memorial Day? Is that
we keep asking.
Memorial Day may be a little late.
Okay.
I'm hoping. I think the first day that's over 40 or 50.
All right.
I got this fire table that I'm building out there right now. And I'm telling the guy, like, I don't want little flames on this fire table. Right. I want big flames.
Roasting
right?
marshmallow.
Like, who
flames.
Wants a little flame? If like, I want it to be like a 4-foot flame coming out of there.
Man.
And I don't care what the city code is. Let's let this thing rip. I want people to be able to see it. Right. I want to feel it from downstairs.
Sure.
That when that thing's on, that like the roof is lifting off of the building.
Right.
So I think by the end of April, we should be ready to roll
bring
on
the
that
beer.
Thing.
So Memorial Day may be too late because the whole building may be.
Maybe on fire.
Right.
Okay.
So but it'll be in the news likely if
you know what the kids say, YOLO.
YOLO, that's right. YOLO. Yep. That is exactly right. That's been a project and a half, but I tell you what, it's gonna be awesome when it's done.
Yeah, it looks sweet. I mean, you had cranes out there. I mean, man.
So many cranes.
Crane expert now.
Cranes are expensive. Also, it's really fascinating. You think cranes are really complicated? They're really not. Right. Like it's just they got a long rope. You tie it on tight. You flip it up onto the roof.
Right.
You kill some people, but it's not that complicated.
Right. Which is weird because I once applied to almost write for like a crane daily, like a publication. I didn't get the job. But
right. It's not as dangerous as you think.
Yeah,
it is.
Right. What do you need a publication for?
Like
a
weekly. Yeah. Who's reading that? You made the right choice by coming here.
I know. Well, it's very similar.
Although, if they have a good podcast,
that's true.
Yeah, might
get album out there. So, before we get to the end here, what's your biggest accomplishment? If you could put that into words.
Okay. Well, the first thing that I was thinking about is that I got my driver's license on the first go at it.
Yeah.
A lot of people it takes them 2-3 times. But like when I think about my great accomplishments in life, boom.
Yeah.
Got
first
that one
try.
Right like that. Yeah, so beautiful. That's one.
Okay.
Professionally, I do still think there's a part of me that is still chuckling and surprised that I'm still working. Right? Like it doesn't in many ways it makes no sense that this is a job that I'm getting paid for.
We say that every day.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's a surprising thing. So there's part of me that feels like, you know, when I am finally fired or if I don't show up here anymore, I'm going to be like, that was an unbelievable run.
Right.
Like, I went a long time and nobody knew what
that
a sham fraud. This whole thing was, right?
Right.
I made it a long stretch.
Yeah, man.
So, I don't know. That's part of it. Other great accomplishments. Yeah, I can't think. That driving thing is a
that's big
deal for
that's
me.
A big one.
Yeah, the other reality is, and I'll say this to you kids out there, on my ACT, you know, I think like if you get your name, if you spell your name right on the ACT, you get a 14, right?
Right.
I got a 17
out
of like 35.
That's
so
really good.
You wrote the date.
I got the date on there probably right. Like, it was an awful score. Like, I was embarrassed at the time, and I'm like, God, what do I do? I'm going to have to lie to everybody, tell them I got a 21 or something, right?
Uh-huh.
So I retook it. Because I'm like, I got to be smarter than a 17.
Yeah, sure.
And I get a, I think it was an 18. Okay. And I'm like, well, yeah, see, I was right. And the thing is, they only let you take it three times. But had I taken it like 25 times, I could have gotten it to like a 28 or a 30. Well,
what do you,
or
you want
like
driving
that.
Skills or you want
right. That's
smarts.
Exactly right.
Right. I mean, you got
the practicality.
Smarts or book smarts.
So, you know, so testing has never been like a strength of mine. In fact, when we had. You know, they do that test for quarterbacks, IQ,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
whatever that's
Gosh,
called. It's something test,
I
right?
I can't think of it now.
Yeah. And they give it all to these guys at the NFL yeah. Combine right. to find out who's really smart, who's right. going to. And so we did it on the air here. And I'm like, oh, good. And they give you like 12 questions or something. And this happens every time. Like I take the test and I walk out of there. And I'm like, ooh, I think I got every one of those right.
Right.
Like, I don't think I got one wrong.
Right.
And every time, I'm not even close to being right. Like, I suck. And so I don't know whether I'm just a bad test taker or if I'm just dumb.
Right.
And I'm open to either one of those possibilities. There's a lot of evidence that it's leaning towards the latter of those two. But I'm just saying I'm a bad test taker.
I always hated those quizzes where they were like, okay, write your name. And then they're like, all right, you have 10 minutes. And if you would have read like the first sentence that says, please don't do anything after this. This is
right,
just,
right,
we're testing
right,
if
right,
you can read directions.
Right.
Yeah. And you're over there like, oh,
yeah,
yeah, tell that.
Yeah,
right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every test, that's I'm not good at them. Whew.
All right.
Well, I feel like I've really bared my
yeah,
soul.
Yeah, you really have.
We appreciate
yeah.
this. Just to wrap up here today, on the morning show today, during your courtesy counter segment, you asked Larry and Robin how they were going to celebrate you for National Weather Person's Day. Today is National Weather Person's Day.
Yeah,
they didn't even give you a sheet cake.
Nothing.
Yeah, so on this joyous day, we thought we'd light a candle. Light the candle over there.
I gotta light the candle.
All right.
Don't
that is nice.
Yep. And yeah, we're going to sing you a song.
Oh.
Feel free to get in here.
All right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
It goes like this.
From the top. One,
right.
two, three.
Happy National Weather Person's Day to you.
Oh,
happy National Weather Person's Day to
me. Thank you.
Happy National Weather Person's Day, Paul Conrad. Happy National Weather Person's Day to you.
Wow, thank you, guys.
Paul,
did you write that yourself?
We did.
That's
we
an
did.
Original.
It's not a takeoff of anything.
Sweet. Yeah, it's really sweet.
From the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for staying beyond your 16-hour work week. Hopefully you can put in for the overtime.
Yeah.
Let us know about that rooftop party.
Yeah, I will.
Thank
I've already
so
put
much.
In the request for overtime already. Looking for a comp day.
Truly, we love you.
We love you. We love
you. Thank you, gents.
Did you say love you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Love all my love.
All right.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. That's good
Woo!
Stuff.
I got sweaty.
I'm sweating too, yeah.